turn back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. There's some of these old writers had funny ways of putting things. There's three types of preaching, they say. Expositional preaching, where you go verse by verse. Experiential preaching, where I tell you what experiences I've had. And evangelical preaching, I tell people to come to Christ. How in the world could you get up and preach the truth of God and not do all three? If you don't go by the according to the Scriptures, you're in trouble. If I've never experienced it, I'm in trouble and you're in trouble. And if I don't call on men and women to come to Christ, they won't know to come to Christ. And we say, well, I come to Him 75 years ago. Well, come to Him today. We need to hear that, don't we? Just don't get old hat if you're His. What is it to receive Christ? Have I received Him? Have you received Him? That's my question. And how do sinful men and women receive Him? And how don't we receive Him? Well, a lot of people stand on a foundation from a long time ago that ain't worth a nickel. We need to examine ourselves, don't we? According to God's Word. I want to know these things. It says here in John 1 verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Received here in our text is defined in that Greek lexicon as to associate with, to draw near, to be in proximity to learn of, in truth. Here's an important one. To be amazed. Are you amazed? Or is there something else more important? Something else to fiddle with. Are we amazed in Him? Have we received Him? To call on, to come to catch, to attain. People say, well, I attained it. I climbed that mountain. Oh, that word attain means to realize, to be revealed in. Has He been revealed in us? That's to receive Him. If I reveal something, it's already there, isn't it? Have I received Him? Have you received Him? To come to Christ, to have faith in Him, to learn of Him, to call on His name, to be amazed in Him, to be associated with Him, that's to receive Him. You could interchange those words right around. That's to receive Him. This world takes that word received, and in our just spoiled, little pampered state, we think, well, that means it's offered to us. Because we have so much that we can refuse things. Somebody got you something for Christmas you didn't want. Well, nah, that's just too much. I already have three of them. You take that back. We think we can refuse things. I told you that before. That glass receives water. It's because I put water in it. I've received whippings. I didn't have a discussion if I wanted the whipping offered to me. I received it. It came in power. Altar calls. People come up to the front of the church and sit down at the altar. That's receiving Jesus. False. That's unbiblical. You can't find it nowhere. False prophets teach those things. If you chose to accept Jesus at a very young age, if you let Him into your heart under a false gospel, that of some Jesus that's just begging you to help Him out, you had mercy on Him, you did not receive the adoption of children. You were not saved then. Is that plain? It didn't happen. I stress this because it's our nature, this flesh of Adam, to just soothe ourselves, isn't it? I heard somebody tell me one time, well, my son's going to church down there and they don't preach the gospel, but I'm just glad he's going to church. I'd rather him go to a bar. That's dangerous. You're juggling hand grenades. That is not good. It's dangerous. It's deadly. The Lord does not and will not save His people through the preaching of a false Christ. We must receive Him, not another Jesus. And if some other Jesus is preached, you ain't going to receive Him. But you know the person and the work of the God, Christ Jesus our Lord. It says in verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Born of this flesh, worldly, earthly, Without the revelation of Christ in us, we do not know Him until He reveals Himself to us, until we receive Him. You don't know Him. I didn't know Him until He revealed. I knew a lot of facts about Him. Boy, I could argue tooth and nail. I could write books on doctrine. I was well affluent and astute in the doctrines of grace, and I did not know Him. He hadn't been revealed unto me yet. He came into the world. What a thought. God came into this world. You and I who know Him, you've truly received Him. You've been given power to become the sons of God. Wouldn't it make you happy if He was here now? If He come here right now? Don't you want to be with Him? Heaven ain't a place, it's a person. It's not a golden parachute. It's the God-man. That's what heaven is. He came into this world that He made. He was in the world He made. And He attended a wedding. Do you know that? Where'd Christ go on Saturdays? He attended public worship of God, didn't he? He never missed a service. Scriptures say that was as was His custom. He didn't miss. He preached. He preached. It's one thing to read old-timey writers. One thing to read a message. It's another thing to listen to a message or watch one on TV. It's a completely different experience to be in person. Could you imagine the God-man sitting down in front of you, opening the Scriptures up, looking you in the eye, and Him preaching Himself out of the Scriptures? I got a ball game. T-ball's firing up. You think, no! He came into this world. He was in the world. Everything was made by Him. Every person was made by Him, and they did not know Him. They didn't receive Him. They didn't draw near to Him. They didn't call on Him. They didn't learn from Him. They weren't amazed by Him. They despised Him. The world despised Him. Some may say, well, they didn't know any better. It couldn't be their fault. They just didn't have Bibles. Like those people with the funny haircuts put Bibles in all the motels and things. That doesn't save nobody. What an Ethiopian eunuch have in his hand. And if he was ever reading a Scripture that would point man's nothing and God's all and salvation's of the Lord, there it was and how He did it. He'd had somebody sent to Him. John the Baptist had to come here in chapter 1, didn't he? The Lord has to send His people. Send His preachers. What if someone knows a lot about the Bible and they've learned a lot about Christ? They haven't learned from Christ, but they learn a lot about Him. And they know He is wisdom, but He ain't their wisdom. Surely, if someone knows that much, if they've dedicated their lives to this, they stop working. They retire and all they do is sit around and just read the Scriptures and study. Surely they've received Christ. Surely they know Him, don't they? Is that close enough? Not so. Look here in verse 11. He came unto His own. He came into the world and the world didn't know Him. He came unto His own and His own received Him not. All the physical benefits that Israel had, that physical nation. They had all the types and pictures and the ceremonies. People were worried about the Passover. You want instruction on how to run your home? Here it is. When your children ask you, why do you do this? You tell them what God did for His people. That's the preeminence of Him. Physical Israel had these type and pictures all around them, surrounding them. And they didn't call on Him. They didn't perceive Him. They didn't associate with Him. They weren't amazed by Him. They didn't have Him revealed in power to them. That physical nation. Think of having a scriptural quoting contest with Saul of Tarsus. You think he'd win? Before the Lord saved him, he knew a lot about the Scriptures, didn't he? Oh, he could tell you all about the history of the Hittites and how that ties into this and that and what happened in what order. He didn't have Christ revealed to him. He didn't receive Him. You see, receiving Christ isn't left up to chance. It's not the Lord doesn't send His Scriptures out and hope somebody digs it up like they did in Josiah's day and blows the dust off of it and they'll find Him. He's just waiting. It's sitting up for chance. It's not put into the hands of men and women to choose Him or not to choose Him. It's not up to us to figure it out on our own. Left alone, the world will not, and those turned over, the Lord turned them over to religion, they cannot and they will not receive Him. We looked the other day, the Lord said, blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee. That's the blessed man, isn't it? I can't do none of these things. But He draws us, doesn't He? If it was left up to my choosing, my drawing near, my learning, there's no hope for me. And there's no joy in it. There's no rest. There's no assurance. But when we are blessed by the Lord, when we receive Him in spirit and in truth, there's rejoicing. We're happy because there's something to rejoice about. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Receiving Christ, calling on Him, drawing near, being made one with Him, being saved. This is the work of the triune God, not a man. We are truly His workmanship. And it's not of our doing. Here in Jeremiah 3, verse 18. It begins, "In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north and to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers." This is still the Lord speaking. He says, "But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father and shalt not turn away from me." We're going to call on Him. But we weren't able, were we? Look in verse 20. "Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping, supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way." They have forgotten. They didn't know Him, the Lord, their God. They've forgotten Him. He's not in their thoughts. Now the Lord gives a command. He said, "You're going to call on me. You're going to call me your father, but you ain't able." So He'll give a command for His children. Verse 22, "Return, ye backsliding children. I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." God commanded it, and they received the command. He said, "Return, ye backsliding children. I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. There's climbing mountains and screaming to Him. And from the multitudes of mountains, truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. How are we going to receive Christ? How are we going to obtain salvation? Salvation's of the Lord. He must do it in power. He must come to His people. And when it pleases Him, He must do it all. Believers will call on Him. We will catch Him. I don't think of that when you run Him down. That's more like you got a baseball glove. It gets thrown at you. We'll believe on Him. We'll catch Him. We'll associate with Him and His people. We'll be amazed in Him. And we will be made willing in the day of His power. That's where it comes from. But the whole disposing of, the whole ranging of all that, the power of all that, is the Lord of our salvation, the Lord God. Now back in our text here in John 1. It says in verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And He came into His own, and His own received Him not." Boy, it's just, if we stop there, there's nothing but despair, is there? There's nothing but just sadness and bleakness. That's who I am. Verse 12, "But..." "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Who received Him? Them that He gave power to become the sons of God. Man that had no power in himself. That's all we were. Like that treacherous bride that ran away. But God. He gave the power to receive them. The power to believe on His name. The word power here, it doesn't mean the ability to make a decision. That's a different word. If you have a marginal reference there, it says for power means right and the privilege. Right and privilege. To receive Christ. To be saved from ourselves. For Him to choose a people and come to them in power because of what His Son did on this earth. As their, in our room instead, as our acceptable substitute. Boy, what a privilege. He gave you power. He gave you privilege, didn't He? That's true privilege. And it's right. Oh, it's right. Because of that work on the cross. Because my sin has been atoned for. At one has been made between me and the God I offended. Because He sent Himself a lamb. And that blood was effectual. Because of that, The law's been satisfied. And I must be saved. The law demands it. There's no double jeopardy. I can't see corruption again. I can't be faced with these charges again. What a privilege that He's right. What a privilege He's right. That's the Lord's power. Receiving Christ is a response to spiritual life. If we receive Him, we draw near to Him, we associate with Him and His people, we call to Him, we praise Him, that's a response to a life that was already there. After the Holy Ghost moves on our hearts through the preaching of Christ, the truth, who and what He is, not another gospel, the gospel, we cry out, we call to Him. We beg for mercy, don't we? Physical birth, whenever you have a child, that baby is born, they exhort that child. And they're listening for a cry, ain't you? Now, whenever that baby cries, does that make it alive? No, you want to hear it cry because then you know it was alive. It's alive, that's why it cries, isn't it? Same thing spiritually. We don't call on the name of Christ. We don't get to proximity of Him. We don't draw near so that we can get life. All the work's done in us. We are made alive, and then we respond. Then we respond. Then we receive Him. We call on Him. Draw near to Him like blind Bartimaeus. We cry for mercy. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Why did Bartimaeus cry that out? Because he already had life in him. Just like a baby, like a child, he cried out. Man's responsibility. We have a responsibility to receive Him, don't we? What's our response? Our responsibility is our response to His ability. When He comes to us in power, we respond. There'll be a response. We'll see what we are. We'll see who He is. We'll know that judgment's done, and we'll cry out begging for mercy with a full assurance that mercy's given. Say, why would you cry for mercy? Ain't you got it? I want more of it. We'll see it in a minute. When does all this take place? When is someone received? When have they received God? We just read in Galatians 1, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, it's the same one, He called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. When was a man saved? When it pleased God. When's he revealed and received? When it pleases Him. Ecclesiastes says, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. You think that excludes salvation? That's everything. Everything the Lord purposed, there's a time for it. There's a time of revelation for His children. Somebody said, well, how come the Lord saved some folks 5,000 years ago, and He saved some 2,000 years ago, and He saved some last week, and some today, and He might save some a couple hundred years from now? It pleased Him. That's exactly when it took place and why it took place. He was pleased to do it that way. That's why we exhort people, loved ones, friends, to come to the Lord. It may be their season. We don't have tomorrow. Life's a vapor. Death, that final day, meeting God in judgment. The Lord said it's going to come like a thief in the night. We don't know when that may be. When I was young, I thought, well, all these things seem true, but I'll worry about this when I'm old. Like when I come back to religion as I get older, once I've sowed my wild oats or seen the world and traveled a whole bunch, I'll settle down one day and then I'll start going to church. And I'll do that when I'm older. And this is where I'll go. What foolishness and what a horrible thought of me. As the Holy Ghost saith today, if we will hear His voice, hear the Word, harden not your hearts. That's an exhortation, isn't it? Paul wrote to us and said, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. When's it acceptable to approach God, to receive Christ, to call on Him? When's it acceptable? Now. Not just today, like a whole day. Right now. Well, you know what the right time's going to be in 2 hours? Right now. Now is the day of salvation. Knowing election, knowing the Lord chose a people, knowing He put them in Christ before the world began, and Christ was our surety. He entered that covenant of grace for His people, and it was sealed right then. guaranteed, like we don't even understand guaranteed. It was effectual then when he said it. It hadn't come to pass. I can have all the confidence in the world to tell everybody I can hear, that'll hear me, to call on Christ, receive Him, admire Him, come to Him, believe on Him. How can I do that? He said, well, you preach elect from home, you just preach to the elect. Oh, Brother Spurgeon said, well, you go mark them for me and I'll preach to them. I'm calling all men and women to do that. I'm told to. That's how I can do it. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But I read this in Ezekiel. And what a blessing it is that I don't know the difference and I don't have to know the difference between a bunch of old, dried up, white bones and petrified sticks. I'm not a paleontologist. I don't have to be. And he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He just called out, didn't he? He didn't sort the bones over on one side and make sure all the dried white sticks are on the other side and tried to line them up into people. He called on the dry bones. And you know what happened? So I prophesied and he commanded me, and breath came into them and they lived. His people lived. He came to them in power. And they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. As long as there's breath in the lungs of a person, there's hope. Today might be their day of salvation. They might see Him. We see what receiving Christ the light is. His work in us and our childlike response to that. And it's ongoing. When we come to Him and we receive Him and call on Him, it's not one and done. It's continual, isn't it? Paul said that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is God by faith, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Hadn't Paul already received and won Christ? Didn't he already know Christ? I want to know Him. I know Him. I knew Him. I want to know Him. I want to keep knowing Him. I want to know more of Him. And the power, that right of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain, I might receive unto the resurrection of the dead. We come to the Lord Jesus, we call on Him, we're taught by Him, love Him, and we continue to find comfort in Him because we see His promises. Because we have received Him, we trust Him. Because we have known Him for the first time ever, we trust Him. And we're shown over and over that His word's true and every man's a liar. What promises we have. What sure hope we have. Turn over to John chapter 3 there, just a page. John 3 verse 33. He that hath, that's present tense, isn't it? Always. He that hath received His testimony, the testimony of Christ, who He is, what He did, hath set to His seal that God is true. If you've received Christ, if you've called on Him, been drawn to Him in power, you know Him, if you're saved by Him, you're going to take sides with God and His word. You'll say, God's true, and every man's a liar. And I'm every man. You'll take sides with God against yourself. Everything I thought before, everything mommy and daddy thought, everything my kids thought, my loved ones, my co-workers, it doesn't matter. What some old commentator wrote 400 years ago, me celebrating the dead, it don't matter. What does God say? It's true. I may not understand it. I may not be able to wrap my head around it. I may not be able to explain it fully, but whatever it is, that's true. Lord's true. What are things that may look like receiving Him to natural man but aren't? People play religion. They go to church, don't they? It's something to keep them occupied. It's a hobby. A dangerous hobby. I'd encourage skydiving or discount bungee jumping or something. That's a hobby to most people. It's something they do one or two days a week, and the Lord's not in their thoughts. They don't know Him. But what would look like receiving Him? What would natural man consider that to be? Here's three ways that a man's not saved. Here's three ways that a man does not receive Christ. Look here in verse 12. Back in our text, John 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, and to them that believe on his name. Colon. They're going to list some stuff. Some things are going to be listed to us. Verse 13. Which were born. Those people that received Christ, they were born. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They were born of God. Which were born. They were given spiritual life. What's that mean? In our terminology nowadays, they were saved. Christ saved somebody. They were born. But it says not of blood. Not of blood. This isn't speaking of the blood of Christ. Blood here translates of heritage or a blood sacrifice. And it's not what we offer in bulls and goats. We know that's not it. The Lord told us He doesn't want that. He takes no pleasure in that. And in our day, it's not giving up something as an offering. Well, I sacrifice so much for the gospel. I sacrifice so much for God. I gave up, list anything. I gave up sports or whatever. It's not of blood, not of our sacrifice. It's not us stopping doing something. And it's not of who we're related to, is it? John the Baptist warned those around him and said, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." You'll think their heritage is something so important. My mommy and daddy's belief, I lived it. This ain't vain words, I'm telling you. Both my parents were saved. The Lord did a mighty work in them. They served Him and His people. I saw that from my youth up. And I thought, well, I'm good. I go to the same church they do. Everything must be fine. Lord can go take a rock out of that parking lot and make something a whole lot better than me could. He could raise up children of Abraham out of rocks. Paul told us that. He said, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are Israel. They're not all the Lord's people that's His physical Israel on this earth. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are children of the flesh. These are not the children of God. Ain't who you're born to, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. The ones of God promised these things to in Christ before time. It's not of our natural birth or anything we can muster up in this flesh that has blood running through it. Any work we can do. It says there, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It doesn't matter how much I really, really want to go to heaven. How much I really, really don't want to go to hell. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how hard I try in this flesh to do good things. All of our works, all of our righteousness, it's every bit filthy rags. Here's what our Lord told Nicodemus. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Everything I came into this world with is going to perish with this world because it ain't nothing but worldly. And that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, Spirit is Spirit. How are we born again? How we receive Christ? The Spirit has to give us life. Born of the Spirit. Paul told us, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So it can't be of our flesh, and it can't be of our blood. We must be born again. God must do it. He must perform it. Turn over to Matthew 16. I know y'all got to see this recently when Cody was here. But Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Those are all good things. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, your God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You know that. You've received Him. How'd that happen? The Father in heaven ordained it. That's how it was purposed. A saving knowledge of Christ, receiving Him, receiving eternal life, it can't come by flesh and blood. Back in verse 13 of chapter 1, John 1, 13, it says, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man." Nor of the will of man. I chose Jesus as my personal Savior. I accepted Him into my heart. He was trying for a long time, and I finally let Him. What blasphemy. What blasphemy. Here's the will of man. Our Lord said in John 5, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." You will not. What's your will do? It's bound by its nature, isn't it? We don't want nothing to do with Him. We will not come to Him. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth and that seeketh after God." When we cry out, when we come to Christ, when we understand some things, and if we cry out to Him, if He does a work in us, you're going to understand some things. He's going to reveal our sin to us. He's going to reveal Christ's righteousness to us. And that all judgment's wrapped up in Him. He's satisfied it. We'll know Him. And we seek Him. When we come to Him, we cry to Him, we seek Him. That's proof that we've had this work done in us. That's the proof of life. "We which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." You who are born of God, it was His doing, start to finish, Alpha to Omega. Every bit of it. James told us of His own will. His own will. "Begat He us with the Word of truth," with Christ. How are we born? Of Him. Because of Him, that we should be the kind of first fruits of His creatures. How did that take place? Where was all this people that worried about the how? How could this happen? Look up in verse 1, John 1, 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In His grace, in His truth, in His mercy, in His power coming to us. Rightfully. And oh, what a privilege that is. We beheld His glory. What does receive mean? To admire Him. You admire your own glory, your own works, your own understanding, your own wisdom, your own learning, or do you admire Him? John said, we admire Him. He came here on this earth, became our substitute, lived and died for us, and was risen for us. And we admire Him for every bit of it. Every bit of it. Our heritage, Him. The blood that was accepted, Him. The will, His will. Every bit of it, isn't it? Moses said, "Lord, show me Your glory." The Lord said, "I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I should be merciful." And a lot of people stop there, don't they? They stop there. Lord giving him truth. He said, "You don't choose grace and mercy. I give it. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious." And he said, "Thou canst see my face, for there shall be no flesh living. No man see me and live." We're unworthy. He's a holy God. He's gracious to whom He's gracious. We're unworthy. We can't look at Him. And the Lord said, "Behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Your foundation is going to be Christ. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock." How do we receive Jesus? How do we come to Him? Call on Christ. We're put in Him. We're put in Him. The Lord did it. "And I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by." I'll cover you up, secure you, and comfort you. All with one hand touch, isn't it? In Christ as He passes by. I want to associate with. I want to be close to. I want to know more of. I want to be amazed. I want to call on, come to continuously, possess, attain, and have this Christ revealed in me. That's how I want to receive Him. Do you? Do you? If you do, if you call on Him, that's proof of life, isn't it? The Lord's done a work in you. Amen. I hope that's a blessing to you. Let's pray together.